Thank you, Mr. Tom. That was great. Well, Happy New Year to everybody. We're almost there. It's good to be with you this morning in the house of the Lord. We're going to begin a new series today, and it's going to run through almost through Easter. It's going to take us a little while. It's all about one question. We're going to look at this question over and over and over and over again. It's a question that someone asks Jesus. And he gets asked this question more than one time. And he gives a lot of answers to the question. And so before we begin, I will tell you that it's a very, very challenging question. And one that most of us would probably avoid any kind of in-depth conversation about. Because it creates in us a bit of angst as we think about what it is that Jesus is saying. So what I'd like to do is we're getting ready to start a new year. I'd like to start with this. It's all foundation stuff before we kind of start digging away. Did you have a good year? Was 2019 a good year for you? Yes or no? How do you define that? What's your parameters? How do you choose to decide that 2019 was a good year? I'm still alive. All right. Does that make it a good year? Well, it depends on whether or not the people I live with think that that's a good idea. Right? Is it that the people I love are still alive? Is it that the people I love are healthy? That they overcame some kind of trouble? That we went through adversity and we came out the other side? What makes for a good year in your mind? Is it that every single decision you made was perfect? Okay, obviously not, right? That's not going to happen. Every plan you made came out exactly the way you planned it. No. For all of us, we all made bad decisions along the way. We made some good ones, right? We made some bad and some good. And we hope, like everyone else, that in the balance of life, we made more good decisions than bad decisions. That would make for it a good year. We hope that we had more health than illness. That would make for a good year, right? So I would like for you to turn to someone, maybe someone you know, someone you love. What's going to make 2020 a great year for you? Just tell them. What's going to make 2020 a great year for you? You're looking forward to it because, boom, what's it going to be? All right, so for how many of you is your 2020, whether it's a good year or a great year, is it dependent upon your circumstances? Something's going to happen, I'm going to meet someone, I'm going to get married, I'm going to buy a house. How many of you, it's dependent upon circumstantial things? Honestly, did you figure that out? Because I would say a lot of people, when they start looking forward to things, if they're honest, they're looking forward to, you know, the things that are of circumstantial value. And so that's the motivation behind this question that gets asked. It's asked by a person who is thinking question. It's a thinking person. And thinking on a level beyond just the circumstances. Jesus, this is Luke chapter 13. And this is just the beginning of the answer. Verse 22 is when where the question gets asked. And so I'm going to read this little section here and the initial answer that Jesus gives. He comes back to this many, many, many times. Okay? And remember, underneath of the foundation here in the Gospel of Luke, there are really two kinds of people in the world. And that doesn't change, even though we're kind of looking in a little different direction here. There are people who are willing to listen to God, and there are people who have blocked God off from their lives. The people who are willing to listen to God tend to have the same character traits, the same personality traits. They're willing to admit faults. They're willing to confess sins. They're willing to grow and be transformed. They know they need it. They tend to be humble and believe other people are valuable. And that's because God transforms people always in the same direction. And they may not be as far along the path as someone else, but they're all on the same path. They're all headed to the same way. They're becoming like Jesus. And anyone who listens to God and listens to Jesus, they're all going to end up in the same place. It may look a little different because of circumstances and the day, but the path is the same. Those who choose not to listen to God, they're on a different path. And they tend not to look like that character base that is Christian. They tend to be a little more self-absorbed. They tend to be a little more me-first kind of idea. They tend to be a little more worldly-centered and value the things of this world just a little bit more, because those are the two kinds of people that Jesus deals with. The people, there are both kinds of people in this crowd when this question is asked. And when a person who's willing to listen to God, they hear the question, they anticipate with great enthusiasm what the answer might be, because this is a question that has been asked since the beginning of time. And it has a variety of answers that are floating around out there. And those who tend not to listen to God, then the answer that Jesus gives becomes irrelevant to them. In fact, in all likelihood, the question is irrelevant. And so this person who comes to Jesus, and it doesn't even say it's a disciple, it's somebody in the crowd, just shouts out a question that he's been thinking about. Stuff on his mind that he's been thinking about. Christmas is a perfect time, because you just had an opportunity to be in a relationship with people, and you know the people that you're in relationship with, and they're, some of them are your children, your spouse, your grandchildren. Some of them are on the right path, and some of them are on the wrong path. And you know that. And so if you know that, whether it's in the forefront of your mind or not, you have asked yourself this question. And you would like to know what's the truth behind this question. The answer is so varied that there are a lot of misconceptions out there about even what Jesus says is the answer to this question. So I would like to set aside strong opinions and just listen from now through Easter. What do you say? I just want to hear what he says. I don't want to override what he says because I have a strong personality. I don't want to override what Jesus says because I have a strong mind, or I have a strong will, or I have a lot of passion. I would prefer to step back from that. And so I have a prayer that you can say this year. Help me step away from me. I don't want to be me-driven in this. And it's easy to happen. It's very, very easy. And I will say the same prayer for you. I pray that you are not self-driven as Jesus begins to answer this question. I just want you to hear what he says. Because what he says is profound and life-changing. Not just for you, but for the people that you love who may perhaps be on the wrong path. We need to hear this. So this is Luke chapter 13, and the title of this series is going to be The Narrow Door. I'm not 100% sure I know how long this is going to last, but I know it's going to be a while. And so here we start right out of the gate. We're going to start with the question. Verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, this is his initial answer to that question. The question is, are only a few people going to be saved? I'll ask the question another way. The way that I ask myself this Christmas season. Is it possible that people that I love are not going to get to? Is that possible? And if that's possible, what does that do to me? How does that impact even my conversations? What does it do when I begin to think and hear what he says? It's a profound question. You see, you and I, as we look forward to a good year, good for us might be, hey, Brendan and I are going to buy a house. Wouldn't that be awesome? Those of you all own a house say, what in the world are you thinking? So, no. A great year for me. I have in mind one person, my granddaughter. A great year for me would be able to hear her answer this question the way that Jesus wants her to answer the question. That's what I'm after. It's not that I don't care about you. I love you. I want you to understand that. But this has profoundly impacted my dialogue with my granddaughter and my conversation and my desire to be in her presence. I have permission from her to text her. That's a big deal. It's been 10 years coming. She and I are on different paths, and I know this. She knows it too. What does the question mean? Are only a few people going to be saved? Listen to his first answer. Now, he's going to answer it many times because it's not a simple answer. Okay? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. His initial answer is yes. Many will not get in. That's the first thing he says in response to that question. There are many people that you know who are not going to make it. I don't like that. I don't like that answer. I'm just being honest with you. I don't like what he says because I love greatly. I believe deeply. I love greatly. Once, now he's going to tell a story. Sometimes I like the stories. Sometimes they bother me. I just want the answer. Right? You get that, right? Now he's going to tell a story. Once, the owner of a house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. Who's the owner of the house? God. What's the house? Heaven. What's happening? God has an open door and then a shut door. That's an image that Jesus comes back to, the image of the open door and the shut door. You and I, what we want to do is leave the door open permanently. I get it. That's what I want. My opinion is that's the way God should do it. It should just be that way. But that's not what Jesus says. He says something different, okay? There are people, the door gets shut, and there are people, he says, pleading for God to open the door. Please let me in. Please, I know. You got to let me in. But he answered, I don't know you or where you come from. So if I, motivated by love for my children and my grandchildren, if I want to have a great year, I have an obligation. This is too important to just leave it up to someone else or to chance or to maybe they'll get it right someday, they'll figure it out. It's just too important. I'm just not able to do that. So I got to figure out what God wants me to do. Because the last thing in the world I want is for one of my children or my grandchildren to be on the other side of that door. I mean, that would be a really bad year, right? Then you will say, listen to the people who are on the wrong side of the door. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. The owner of the house will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. You mean no matter what they say at that moment in time, it's too late. That's what he says. I don't like it, but that's what he says. There will be weeping there, gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are thrown out. People will come from east and west, and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last will be first, and the first will be last. So here's what I know about this. And I'd like to show you a picture. Tim, if you would put that picture up. Here's what I know about this path. This is a path of the most treacherous hike you can take as a tourist. Right? It's in China. And the whole path doesn't have a railing like that. It's a little over 5,000 feet straight down. And underneath of you, it's plexiglass built by the Chinese. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, this looks a little perilous to me. It's a very narrow path, one person at a time, in many, many places. And in some places, so narrow that you have to press up against the cliff and walk like this. There's no railing. But people want to go. Would you want to be on that path? I would not want to be on that path. I don't like heights. I don't like looking down through where I'm walking. I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't like it. I just wouldn't like it. If I don't like it, would I invite somebody else on the path with me? Probably not, because I ain't going. Right? And if they invited me, I ain't going. I don't like it. Don't like heights. What if word got out that of the people who initially got on the path, 70% didn't make it to the end? Would you get on the path? Absolutely not, right? Odds are against you. Would you take somebody else on the path? Absolutely not. I understand. I get it totally. I totally understand what that means. But what if the path is the only way to get from here to there? What if there's no other way? What if it's treacherous, it's perilous, fraught with danger, exceedingly difficult, brings out the worst fears of a human being, brings it all out of us? What if it is the only way to get from here to there? What if there's no other path? This is it. There's only one path. There's not multiple paths. You're not allowed to just walk any path you want to walk and it all end up being okay. Jesus never says anything like that. He says this, this is what he says. He says, the way is narrow. Narrow path. It is not only a narrow path, it is a narrow door. And not only is it a narrow path and a narrow door, most of the people who are on the path don't even know what they're doing. They have no idea that this is the only path from here to there. He says it. Most of the people walking the Jesus walk, they got no idea what they're doing. They don't know him. And he doesn't know them. And even though they look like they're on the path, fraught with danger, they're going to come to the end of the path, and what's the owner of the house going to do? Shut the door. What? are only a few going to be saved? I don't like his answer. I would prefer he tell me something different. But his answer is yes. And many who think they are going to be in for a surprise. They're not in. So how can I help you? How can I help me? God, I need help. How can I help me? Oh my goodness, how can I help me? But how can I help her? She sleeps with my sermon. Do you see? Do you understand? All right, so here are some common things. Common things, okay? If you want to have a great year, let's start with you, okay? First thing, and Jesus is going to tell you this a lot. This is how you know you're on the path. You have to be humble. If you're not humble, you're not bearing fruit that is becoming a Christian. You must believe that other human beings have value. That this world is not about you. And not only believe it in your mind, but you need to go do something about it. I asked my granddaughter what her goals were for this coming year. She's 28 now. California girl. Yeah. I mean real California girl. You know, not like one of the religious California girls. And her goals, let's see. Her goals. I would like to spend more time with my friends. I would like to have a job that involves my passion. Does that sound familiar? I mean, I'd like to work doing something that I love doing. And so the question I asked her, an open conversation was great. When was the last time you did anything to help somebody? When was the last time you did anything to help someone? Said, well, maybe you should add as a goal for your life that you want to do something that reflects a belief structure that other people have value. Maybe if you changed your passion from being me-oriented to how can you help other people become better human beings, just maybe you might find some success. Because here's the truth, and here's what Jesus is going to talk about. If you know Jesus, and we're going to talk about knowing Jesus a lot. If you know Jesus and what it's like to have a relationship with him, then you're being changed. And there are certain things that are happening in your life. And they just don't stop. They just keep happening. You're becoming other-minded. You're becoming a humble human being. You're putting Christ ahead of yourself. And you begin putting Christ ahead of other people. You start doing what Jesus wants you to do. And these things begin to happen in your life. And so the first thing that you should do is make a decision about Jesus, like a real decision, not like a make-believe decision. You know, because I'm not helping you if I say, it's okay, just make a decision about Jesus, come forward here and say a little prayer, and I'll say a little prayer, and it's all done. That doesn't help you. All it does is make you think you're okay. When Jesus makes it very, very clear that showing up on Sunday is not what it's about. This is about a relationship. And it works like this. Lord, show me this year one major thing about my character that requires your transformation. Let me see it, God. Reveal it unto me. This is the narrow path guy. This is why when Jesus started to explain the narrow path to disciples, you remember what they did? He explained the narrow path. He said, I must go to the cross and die upon the cross so that I can take you home. He says that out loud. And all of the disciples did what? Went home. Went home. They went home. So here's the challenge for us this year. First, Lord, reveal unto me something about my character that requires transformation. You have been ingrained for however many years you've been alive into thinking you're okay just the way you are. You are not. You require transformation. And here's the bigger one, and this is a big one for Wesley. Lord, help me to be accountable to who I'm supposed to be. When I go to, I used to live in Ocoee, and once every year I would make a commitment to get in shape. Let me say that again. Did you catch it? Every year I would make a commitment to get in shape. Every year. And so there's a Planet Fitness right here in a little strip mall. $10 a month, can't beat it. I know I'm not going to last long, so I'll put a couple $10 bills in there and off we go. All right? So Planet Fitness, right next to it, Twisty Treat. No lie. I'm telling the truth. I'd go in February with everybody else who made a commitment that they were going to get themselves in shape, and 6 o'clock in the morning on January the 2nd, whatever the first day of the new year, we packed out. Packed out. You can't even get to one of the instruments. You got to wait in line for people. Packed out. Nobody at Twisty Treat. We've all decided we're not eating Twisty Treat anymore. We've made a commitment. Right? I've made a commitment to this. Second week of February, Twisted Treat line is packed. They're just lined, cars all backed up all the way in the back. Planet Fitness, you can go any instrument you want. Any time of the day, any place, any time you want. I learned something. What would have made me successful at that endeavor? There are a few things. I could have wanted it more, right? I could have had more willpower, right? I'm not good at any of those things. I'm bad at it. I'm bad at it. So here's what worked for me in my life. In the 1980s, 1987, I had just been moved to a new church. And I did this, what I'm telling you to do right now. Begin to start a new year. And I said, God, reveal unto me something about my character that needs to be transformed. And it wasn't that I had a fat belly. That's not my character. You understand? And it came back to me, Ernie, you need to be a better husband. You need to be a better husband. You're not doing a great job at it. That just me, just laying in my bed, boom, there it was. Now, I could have done the same thing that I do with Planet Fitness. I could have. Lots of people do. Could have woke up the next morning and say, by gum, I'm going to will myself, and I'm going to do a better job, and I'm going to read a book, and they're going to teach me how to do the right thing, and I'm going to be a better husband for my wife, right? I'm going to spend more time with her, but I didn't do that. If I'd have done that, I would have not have succeeded. And I know that. Let me tell you what worked. I got 3 other men, and I told them what God had told me. And I said, God told me I need to be a better husband. And I can't do this without help. I need your help. And they agreed to meet with me on Thursday mornings at 4:30 in the morning before they had to go home for breakfast. I had little kids. Breakfast with their family, getting everything's ready, and going to work. 4:30, Thursday morning, 4 of us. We met for 7 years. 7 years. 4:30 in the morning, every Thursday, unless we were on vacation. We met. It grew to 7 guys, went down to 4, back up to 6, down to 2, back up to 5, 7 years. It worked. That's all I can tell you is it worked. All we did was, how are you doing as a man of God? Everybody talked. How are you doing as a man of God? How are you doing as a godly husband? That's it. That's all we talked about. We didn't talk about, we didn't have book club, right? We didn't do any of that stuff. Took a little while, but it was an unbelievable sense of commitment and accountability. Here's what we lack: desire and accountability. A lot of people don't want to be transformed. I get that. Because, I mean, look at the path. Look at the path for transformation. I mean, I totally get it that people don't want to get on that. It's dangerous, fraught with peril. I get it. 70% of the people who get on that path, they don't even finish. But for me, it's the only way to get from here to there. So, do you want to have a good year? Walk the narrow path. Get a hold of somebody who wants to walk with you. And just hold each other accountable. Am I being godly here? Or is this just my opinion? Hold each other accountable. I think those two things, the want to and the accountability, are the things that are holding the church back. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask for your richest blessing upon us as we seek to grow in faith. I pray, Lord, for a great, great year. I pray that many, many would join us on this path as we walk from here to there. I pray, Lord, that many would come to know you in a deep and intimate and meaningful way. Lord, let your desire become our desire, and let our desire be yours. Let us set aside our worldly opinions and trust only in you. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends, let's continue our worship with the giving and the receiving of our gifts.